Well, last week we did chapter 1 of Isaiah, and as we got through, we discussed some things afterwards, and something that I did not expound on was verse 18 and 19, wasn't it?
18, 19, and 20.
And in this, what I maybe didn't expound, which maybe I should now, and I'll read those verses 18, 19, and 20, and then we'll talk about them a second. Says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword of the mouth of the Lord, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Okay, now let's go back and look at it. It says, "Come now, let us reason together." Should say, "Let's be reasonable and see it his way," but, you know, "let's be reasonable," said the Lord. "Although your sins be as scarlet," that's talking about a bad thing, isn't it? Real dark scarlet. "They shall become," not be, "but become as white as snow. Although they be red," and red, this word here is Adam, red like Adam, "red like crimson." And this word crimson is that crimson grub, perfect symbol of Christ, okay? "They shall become as" what? "Wool," and wool being white, right? "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword of the mouth of the Lord, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Okay. I'm missing something here. Okay, there's a conditional thing here. It's conditional. He says in verse 18, "I'm going to take care of it. Even though they're like scarlet, or even though they're like crimson, they will be white as snow or as white as wool." Now, he didn't say you had to do anything, did he? But what he's telling you now is it's conditional in verse 19. The first word is what?
Yeah.
And isn't that a conditional word? That conditional word says, "If you be willing and obedient." The word obedient is the word shama. It means with the ability to hear with the intent to respond positively to what you have heard. Okay? "You shall eat good of the land." So if we listen to what God says and do what God says, guess what? We got to be more than a hearer of the word, but a hearer and a doer of the word. If we're there, we'll eat the good of the land. Now, we're not talking about fruits and vegetables from the land of the earth, are we? We're talking about the fruit of God's life infused into our life, aren't we? Okay? So we're going to have the everything that he had, we will have. We'll have our inheritance, right?
What I was pointing out was it's not, there's no condemnation about where you're at in that.
Right. Well, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. He's going to take care of it. No matter what kind of condition you're in, it makes no difference because God's going to take care of it, right? And then he says, "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword of the sword." And the sword is the word of God, isn't it? Because he said so. "Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The word "it" isn't there. That's the added word. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, everybody wants to think the mouth of the Lord was only Old Testament prophets. Is that true? No. There's prophets today. And Jesus was the first of many brethren, right? And if he was there, we have the same DNA as he had, right? So if he was a prophet, a priest, and a king, what are we?
Same.
Same thing. Seed produces like kind. In the natural and in the spiritual. So that was just an area I wanted you to touch, that I wanted to go back and touch on, that there's no condemnation in Christ. There's no condemnation for what you've done or where you are. You're where God wants you to be. And when God wants you to move, guess what you'll do?
You'll move.
You will move. If he created everything we can see and hear and feel and taste and touch, guess what? By saying words, you think he can't control us? That's hilarious to think he can't control us. So, just wanted to go back and touch that. Now we'll step on into chapter 2. I'm going to read chapter 2. It says, "The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore you have forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines. And they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the Lord, the work of their own hands, which their own fingers have made. And the mean man bows down, and the great man humbles himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and every one that is lifted up, and he shall be, brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all the pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols shall he utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, and to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Now let's go back and look at this. We got to know that everything we're talking about is internal workings, correct? So we know that God is talking about something going on in us, and this is what we have to take and assimilate it into our lives to change us. In the first verse it says, "And the word that Isaiah saw, the son of Amoz, or son of strength, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem." He saw something in Judah and Jerusalem. It concerned those two things. Judah means praised. Jerusalem means teaching of peace or duality. Okay? I can see two realms here. The celebrated realm, that's the highest realm. And the duality is the second realm. Right? And in Passover and Pentecost, those two realms become one. That's the ones that's in duality. But they have a teaching of peace, and it shall be praised when it comes to that highest realm. And in verse 2, this is where it really takes off. And it says, it shall come to pass in the last days, and that word days should be day, because the last day there is what? The day of the Lord. There's no more days. It's the day of the Lord, see? Nothing else. Just the day of the Lord. That the mountain, and that word mountain is speaking of Zion, the mountain of the Lord's house, that's Mount Zion, correct? The highest place. Shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. We're not talking about countries. We're talking about nations, imaginations, minds, the thinking. Everybody's mind's going to flow into the same thought process. Change. Sounds like jubilee to me. Sounds like reconciliation, doesn't it? That everyone is going to be changed. And they don't have an option at it, do they? He just said they shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Didn't say some of them, did it? Didn't say if they wanted to, they would, did it? Just said they're going to flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Jacob was a conniver and a trickster, wasn't he? Yep. See? But he was the God of Jacob. Regardless of what he did and the faults he had and the sins he may have committed or the violations of the law he committed, he was still the Son of God, wasn't he?
Oh.
Huh?
He was a called one.
He was a called one, so it didn't make any difference what was there.
It's going to take place the way God wanted it to,
yeah,
regardless.
And I think he chose these people explicitly for the things they did wrong. Yeah. To show you that it classifies you in that same ballpark. That, hey, I'm right there with them. I've done all them stupid things too.
You can't be too bad for God to work on.
You can't be too bad for God to repair. No. Now, after he says that, he says, he will teach us his ways or his course of life. Did he say he might teach you?
Mm-hmm.
He said he's going to teach you his ways. Man, this is a promise. This is a great promise right here. He's going to teach you his ways, and we will not walk but live his way. Not in walking his path, but we'll live his way. See, if he teaches me his course of life, then guess what? I'm going to live his way. If I have his mind, what will I live like? I'll live like him. How simple it is. That's why he says in the New Testament about the mind of Christ. He said in Ezekiel, I'm going to give you a new heart, a new mind. He didn't say maybe. He will. But right now he's working on first fruit. When he gets done with them, the rest of the work will get done. But right now he's doing his work on first fruit.
God is definitely faithful.
Absolutely. He said it and he will perform it.
There's nothing you can say about it.
Can't change it a bit. If you think you can, you got a messed up mind. Okay, rest of that verse 3 says, because Zion, right? Zion shall go forth, and Zion represents the law. Go forth, and out of Zion it says, so go forth the law. The law will come out of Zion. You know how that's a good thing? See, everybody thinks this is God preaching out of Zion. No, no, no. He said the law's going to go out of Zion. The legalism's going to go out of Zion. When you get this mind of Christ in there, there's no room for anything else, is there? This is a good thing, and everybody thinks it's something Jesus preaching, or all these people come preaching at you. No, no. He said the law's going to go out of Zion. It's going to leave Zion, because it's going to be the law of love and mercy and grace now, not condemnation and guilt. That's the good part, see? They're not seeing it. They're looking with the legalistic eyes and religious eyes and not seeing that God said, hey, all that legalism is going to be gone. And you know what? The people that's holding on to that legalism and religion right now and swearing that God is in this thing, one of these days they're going to be so happy that God is faithful and going to remove the law from Zion. He already did it. They just don't believe it. We're in a new covenant, aren't we?
Yeah.
They'll say it, but they still live under the old law. Still live there.
Love will replace that.
Love will replace it all. And said the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, the teaching of peace or duality there. Said the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. See, it's no longer the word of the Lord. It's God himself. It's not just about his word. It's about him. It's going to all go away. All this just written letters on a page. This legalism, it's all going to disappear.
Become a reality.
Because we will be the written epistles to be read of every man. That's what we're supposed to be, aren't we?
Well, no, it'll come from within you out.
You don't have any option. Whatever's in you is coming out, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. They just don't see it.
In other words, he's putting love in. He's putting that love in you, and it'll be just reflected out everywhere.
He said he planted a vineyard in his holy mountain. We'll get there a couple more chapters. He planted it and he looked for a fruit, and he looked for grapes, and he got poisonous stinking berries. And he said, I know what I did, but you don't believe me, so you're going to go ahead and do your thing and bring up them poisonous berries. We'll get that later. Where to leave off there? 4. And he shall judge among the nations the minds. Now see, when we say judge, everybody looks at the negative side. But there's a positive or negative. He already judged now. Hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They're ignorant, in other words. And see, in ignorance, you can't be judged and held guilty when you're ignorant of anything.
Yeah.
Okay? Just in man's law you can. God knows better. And shall rebuke, and that's word, it says rebuke many people. That word rebuke is not right. In Hebrews 12 and 6 it says, God chastises or literally corrects those he loves, right? And right here, this word means to correct or justify many people. He shall correct or and justify many people. Hello, that's all people. Who's he going to correct and justify?
Everybody.
Everybody. In the end, everybody. And then, see, and then something's going to happen. Once he corrects or justifies this many people, then something's going to happen. Now, first fruits right now. This is going on. But right now, everybody isn't getting their plowshares, their swords beat into plowshares, are they?
Mm-hmm.
There's still a reason to be plowing the earth right now. But the first fruit is already past this point. And the rest of them, guess what? They'll come later. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. Those swords in their mind, those words with a sharper than a two-edged sword, those sharp tongues that they got, that's what's going to be changed into plowshares. And their spears into pruning hooks. They're going to change that tree. They're going to prune that tree back till it becomes fruitful. And nation shall not lift up against, sword against nation. What it's really saying is one mind won't be beaten up on another mind. It's not about different countries. This is about what's going on. My mind won't be fighting against your mind, or the mind of Christ in me won't be fighting the mind in you. We'll be trying to reconcile all of our similarities rather than our differences.
Be a team.
Be a team.
We will be. We won't be trying.
That's right. We'll be doing it. Neither shall they learn what?
War
again. We learned it once. See, we started in a perfect state with God, didn't we? And then we learned war. We learned to fight. And we learned to do it our own way versus God's way. And that's where we learned war. And he said, you're never going to learn it again. It says anymore, but the word says again. And again tells me that I had to learn it the first time. It wasn't my natural state. My natural state was in the state of the mind of Christ. And there's no war there, is there?
No, it's peace.
It's peace and life. Long-suffering, mercy, and grace. But now I learned it like everybody else, and God had to come back and show me that's the wrong thing to think. Here's the right thing to think.
Isn't that where the flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Absolutely. They can't. It's only the Spirit can do it. And he cries out and says, O house of Jacob, who is that? That was all of us at one time. Come ye and let us live in the light of the Lord. That's where we started. Didn't Job say, weren't you, God say to Job in Job 38:5, I think it is, he says, Job, weren't you standing right there with me when the morning stars sung together? You were right here. See, we were with him in the beginning. We were chosen him in Ephesians before the conception of the world. Verse 6, we got a context change there, if you see that by that little 6, little funny P backwards. Therefore you have spoken... you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east. No, that's not what it says. They live, this is be replenished, and it should say they are filled. Okay?
New King James says because they're filled with eastern ways.
Filled with influences of the east. Okay? They're filled with man's way of doing things, man's ideas. And they are soothsayers or practicing magic like the Philistines. And they satisfy themselves in the children or with the children of strangers. See, that's why he said...
they go to church.
Yeah, they go to church. There you go. You got to realize that all this stuff is either... It's all about man. It's external. They're not... When he says we're supposed to stay to our own kind, I should be drawing from the Spirit because I'm a spirit person. You're a spirit person. Where should you be getting your information? From spiritual people, not from external. I know when I was in the church system, I had a disagreement with my sister. Bless her heart, she's in social services, all kinds of them names and letters after your name, you know. And it's a prideful thing. You know, most of my family have those names after their name, you know, letters and stuff, you know. And it really doesn't mean anything to me. I know where they were raised, the same place I was. And they're no better than me. They've got everybody else smoked, but they ain't got me smoked. I know who they are. And she was talking about someone receiving counseling, this particular individual. And I said, no, that's wrong. And she said, well, who should I be counseling? I said, me. I said, I'm a man of God. I won't lie to you. And I don't want your money. I'll help you for nothing. And you want them to go to somebody because they got a bunch of letters after their name. And they're worldly people that's going to give you worldly advice. I don't agree with it. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't think that those counselors are any smarter than God. I think God can answer every question. But now, if you're a worldly person, where should you go? To the world. If you're a godly person, you say you're trying to serve God, then you should be seeking a godly person, man or woman, to be giving you the answers, not to the world. That's just my opinion. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Wouldn't it be where it's talking here, house of Jacob, wouldn't it be just carnal ways? Or
well, that's a natural man.
The course of carnal course of life.
Sure, it's just the natural Adam man, you know. Yeah. Absolutely.
They're going to the non-spiritual side, as opposed to
going
to the spiritual
side. Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. He's talking to all of us though when he said that, about O house of Jacob.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Everybody,
right. It says their land also is full of silver and gold. Now, silver we know speaks of redemption. Gold speaks of the nature of God. Right. Silver and gold both have a negative thing in idolatry, don't they? Okay. Now, and vanity. And it says, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, and that's strength, the beast nature. Neither is there any end to their chariots, that's their wagons of war, or tools of war. Their land also is full of idols, and they worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Now, what he's saying here, when he started in verse 7 and verse 8 both go together, it says their land is full of silver. What land is he talking about? The land between your ears. See, you have the tree of life in you, don't you? And you also have the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't you? You've got all this inside of you, but which one are you going to feed on? Which tree are you going to feed from? Well, majority of them are eating from the ego of man, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But he's talking about, he said, you've got it all within you. It's all there. You don't have to go try to find something. It's within you. You need to do some research within yourself. It says that the mean man or the Adamic man, or it's mankind, bows down and the great man humbles himself. Therefore, he says, forgive them not. He said, hey, they've forsaken the house of the Lord, haven't they?
In other words, let them walk in.
Let them walk in where they're at. Leave them alone. He's saying, leave them alone. He's not telling the prophet to go do anything. The prophet's saying, hey, this is what God said. Leave them alone. Verse 10, it says, enter, and there's another context. It says, enter into the rock. That's Christ, isn't it? Or hide in the dust. And what is the dust? But flesh, it's serpent food, right? For the fear of the Lord. Either enter the rock or hide yourself in the dust. You're either for me or against me, right? He says, because of the fear of the Lord and for the splendor of His majesty. Make up your mind. Get in the way or out of the way. Quit playing church. Didn't He say in the book of Revelation, I would rather have you hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Right? So He's telling you the same thing here. Either serve me or get out of the way. Do what I tell you to do, be obedient, or get out of the way. Verse 11, it goes on and says, the proud eye, not the lofty looks, but the proud eye of Adam or humanity shall be humbled. That's a good thing. He didn't say maybe. He said it shall be humbled. That proud look's going to be done away with, isn't it? One man will be taken away and one man will be left right in the earth. That natural man, his thinking ways is gone, and the thinking of Christ will stay. And the haughtiness of humanity, of every man, shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall he be exalted in that day, the day of the Lord. See, not days, plural, but in the day of the Lord. And every day, from the time of his resurrection, and ascension, from that time on, it's been the day of the Lord. There's no more days. It's a day. It's His day. Verse 12, because the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon some, everyone that is proud or arrogant and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. The day of the Lord is what's coming on them. What can we classify the day of the Lord as?
Now.
No, not in time. But he said, the day of the Lord shall be upon everyone that is proud. The day is going to come. It's going to judge them. Now, in judgment, we're not seeing negative again.
No.
They don't look the negative. But it's a promise that God is going to straighten us up. It's a good thing. It may seem bad while you're going through it, but the result of it is a good thing, isn't it? When He gets through dressing you down, you're going to realize, hey, He's helped me out. He has changed my life. He has saved me from myself.
Purification.
Absolute purification. Cleansing. And it says, on everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. It means he'll be humbled.
In other words, you're going through hell.
Whether you like it or not, just keep on going, because there's no way out anyway. Once you get in halfway in, the only way is out, isn't it?
Don't back up. You
yeah, just keep on going, because once you get halfway in, you might as well go on, because then you're going out any way you go. Verse 13, and upon the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan. Well, cedars represent strength, the strength of Lebanon, the white mountains. And the white mountains are an external look, isn't it? It's talking about people that have religion. There's white, strong, high lifted up people that think, not just white people, I'm talking about white being religious, but there's a lot of white people that's religious. It's talking about the strength of religion, okay?
Prideful.
Prideful, it's a strength of religion that are high and lifted up. See, that's religion. And upon the oaks, which also speaks of idolatry and strength, of Bashan, which is a place of fruitfulness. And it can be fruitful, positive or negative, can it?
Yeah.
So in this high and lifted up state, they can be fruitful, but only fruitful in the natural. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a negative in the spiritual.
And we all were there at one point.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. You got to see it works both ways.
What was Bashan?
Bashan speaks of being fruitful, but it could be positive or negative. It goes both ways. It could be fruitful in the spirit or fruitful in the natural, but not both. And upon all the high mountains, verse 14. Now, upon all the high mountains, the kingdoms. Upon all the high kingdoms, and upon all the little, all the hills that are lifted up. That's high kingdoms, large and small. Every one of them. Every realm of rulership. And that's not speaking about countries or cities or counties or whatever, all these different groups like that. It's talking about each and every person, okay? Each and every kingdom, whether large or small, in my mind, what I have created, the mountains and the hills in my mind, the high lifted up places. Each one of them will be dealt with. Verse 15, and upon every high tower and upon every fenced wall. That high tower speaks, it also says the language, a high tower or a pulpit. From every pulpit and upon every fenced wall. And that fenced wall speaks of a fortified church denomination. He's going to deal with every one of them. The day of the Lord is going to be on every one of them. They can think they're safe in their walled, fenced-in places in their church this morning with all their bells ringing and their stained glass and their padded pews, but God's day will be on every one of them.
He's not on the buildings, He's on the man.
Yeah, not on there. But they think they're safe inside that sanctuary they've got. Huh? That's right. Verse 16 goes on and says, and upon all the ships of Tarshish. What is a ship?
Vessel.
It's a vessel to deliver something. Upon all, it has an ability to deliver everything from Tarshish and upon all the pleasant pictures or the desirable, I got to get this word out of my mind. I can't read my writing.
Tarsus.
Okay. The ships of Tarshish or the desirable pictures, and that picture should say desirable watchtowers or denominations. So even the ones, all those desirable ones everybody thinks is the answer, God's judgment's going to come upon all of them. Doesn't make any difference what building you go to, what church you go to. I don't care how much money your church has got or how many million people belong to it. It doesn't make any difference to God. And the loftiness of man, or the pride of the natural man, shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of humanity shall be made low, of each man shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And when we walk in, and now when they're not talking future. That's the thing that I can't get people to understand in the Scripture. Just because it says in that day, they're talking about a 24-hour period. It's not true. The day of the Lord is now. It's right now. It's always now. It always will be now. And it's not about a 24-hour period that someday is going to come to pass. It's the day of the Lord. And whenever you come to a place, because this is an internal teaching, right?
Right.
So when you come to the place that you have went through this refining process that God is working on you, tell me what day it is in your life.
Right now.
It's the day of the Lord. It's the day of the Lord in your life. Because now only He will be exalted, right? The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Do you hear me? When you come to this process that you're hearing what He's saying, you're doing what He's saying, you're obedient, you're hearing and obeying, guess what? That's the day of the Lord. It's not something in the future. It's not something that started back then. It's whenever you come to this place in your life, you step into the day of the Lord. When you realize that He is in sole control of everything.
When He says that He'll have no other gods before Him,
yep.
That's what He's talking here.
Yep.
Is that God that
idols in here. Idols.
He's taken it down.
He's taken all this down, and when your mind is subjected to Him and to none other, guess what? You're in the day of the Lord. You're in the day of the Lord. And the idols shall what? Well, the word, it says, shall He abolish, it says in the King James. But let me show you what it really says. And the idols shall completely vanish. I like that. See, because no one's doing anything, but when your mind is changed, what happened to the idols?
There are no more.
You turn the light on, what happens to the darkness? It vanishes, doesn't it? And when God lightens, and it says He was the light that came from above, that lightens every man that comes into the world, right? So when He turns the power on, guess what? All these idols vanish. Completely vanish. Nothing left of them.
Meaningless.
It absolutely means nothing, does it? Me and Lois was talking about something the night coming out of town. And it's about this ball game they had last night. And about their stadium. And I said, it doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, I don't really care which one wins.
We were talking about that too.
I mean, there's 10,000 people going to watch a high school game, and it means nothing. I mean, so I can enjoy watching a nice competition in a ball game. I can enjoy that. But I mean, all this money and stuff spent, I mean, there was boat races, there's river days, there's big stock car races down here, and there's, what else was going on? Oh, Lord.
There's a parade.
The parades and all this stuff. Everybody's wrapped up in stuff that means nothing to me.
Talking about sending, and like, you know, I like football and
yeah.
All that, but they just take it too far.
Too far.
My God, these are just little kids.
Yep.
But you have all these adults acting yep. like, if we don't win,
the world will change. The world will stop if I don't win, you know. Competition is not of God.
We're less.
We're less person because we lost a game, you know. But that's what they're teaching their children, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's wrong. But I mean, really, it has no value to me. I mean, I can watch a ball game, but it doesn't change my life whoever wins. I can get up in the middle of it and walk away. It don't mean a thing. In fact, I was watching a game last night, and I just turned off and left. It didn't make any difference to me. I mean, I was watching it while I was relaxing. We'd come back from Cincinnati. I was tired. I needed to sit down for a little bit and relax. Turn TV on, just help me relax a little bit. Turn it off, went ahead and do some other things. You know, it didn't mean nothing. I didn't care who won. I mean, it really doesn't, because none of this stuff means anything to me. I can enjoy it, but it's just something, you know. No, it's just no intrinsic value at all.
Entertainment.
Just entertainment. Let it go. Verse 19, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty when He arises to And when it says to shake the terribly the earth, it should say, and causes the earth to tremble. We're not talking about what's under your feet. We're talking about what's between your ears. The earth between your ears.
To the deepest, darkest places.
And shaking it.
Accepted.
Yeah, he's shaking the whole thing. And that's what it's all about here, what he's talking about. It said they're going to hide in the clefts of the rocks and in the tops of the... Oh, where did I went down too far? About 19. They went into the holes of the rocks and the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to and causes the earth to tremble.
Isn't that kind of like, I can't see you, you can't see me?
That's what they think, yes. The old ostrich trick, stick your head in the sand, the storm ain't going on.
Yeah, I can't see it.
It's not happening, that's what they think.
Isn't what's going on is this God is just sifting out all them carnal thoughts?
As he desires to do it, that's exactly what he's doing.
And in his day, when you come to a certain part of it, there's shaking it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yep. Oh yeah, he can make your head hurt. Verse 20 goes on and says, "In that day," and what day are we talking about?
Today.
The day of the Lord. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they have made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. Now let me do this again. What is the silver and the gold? Now, silver speaks of redemption, doesn't it? So they're talking about what they think will redeem them, and they're thinking about what they think about God and their nature, the nature of their idols that they've created. They're going to take those thoughts of what they think about them, and they're going to cast, in which they made themselves to worship. And see, that's what religion does. We make these idols in our mind, don't we? And we make these things up, and somebody could tell them to us, and we grab them and take a hold of them and say, okay, now this is mine now, but still it's man-made. And it says they cast them to the moles, and look, that's rats and to the bats. To the rats and the bats. So he's putting them in a low place. That means they no longer have a place of importance in our life, right? And to go into the clefts of the rocks and to the tops of the ragged mountains. So now they're going to try something. They've got rid of their idols. Now they're going to try another denomination. It's funny. I can see it. They got rid of their junk on the lower realm, out of the Passover realm. And now they're going to head for Pentecost. They're going to run up on the hill. To the clefts of the rocks and to the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to cause the earth to tremble. Guess what? Same thing. He said there they did it in Passover and here they're doing it in Pentecost. They're trying to run up on top of the mountain. They think they can get closer to God by being up on top of this other place.
Surely going to be a better way there, right?
There is a better way. And I love his answer. Now here's where the key lies. And here's the reason why they were in those two lower realms in this last verse. Cease ye. It should say, you stop. You stop from esteeming mankind. You stop from worshiping religion. You stop worshiping men and women whose spirit is in their nostrils. Because why is he to be esteemed for anything? There's the issue right there. Quit esteeming man, humanity. Quit esteeming humanity as being something great. It's not. The only thing great about us is what lives within us. Like Paul said, it's not I that lives, but the Christ that lives within me. Beautiful, beautiful book. And we're just getting started. Just getting started. Next week, good Lord willing, we'll be in chapter 3. So I'm going to stop here. Has anybody got any questions or comments?